exclusive brisk pace, speed, and class ratings, free memberships, free handicapping software, race entries and results, handicapper selections, and so much more. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover BriskNet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, Triple Crown winner American Pharoah, his sire, Pioneer of the Nile, and his grandsire, Empire Maker, all stand for six-figure stud fees. Cairo Prince, from the same sire line, stands for $15,000. And Cairo Prince is not just another well-bred young stallion. He was a flat runner. Broke his maiden first time out as a two-year-old at Belmont, won the Grade II Nazareth Stakes, and was a hit bobbing second to Honor Code in the Grade II Remsen in his three starts as a two-year-old. Then in his first start at three, won the Grade II Holy Bull Stakes by nearly six lengths, stamping himself as a leading contender for the Kentucky Derby. His trainer, Kieran McLaughlin, described him to be, this is a quote, as special as they come. He did everything effortlessly. He was a great two-year-old and one of the best three-year-olds I've ever been around, unquote. A superb individual. He was the most expensive weanling and yearling from Pioneer of the Nile's first crop. Cairo Prince at Mr. and Mrs. Brer and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Your inspection's invited. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Capital of the world. It's Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis on Fox Sports 1580.
And down the fence they come!
We'll talk about the horses.
Oh, whirl away, pulls away.
The people.
Here comes Tim Tam down the middle of the track now.
And the history of the thoroughbred industry.
And it's Trick Material that went to play 2.5 lengths.
Now live from Kentucky's bluegrass region, here's Ursel.
Well, good morning, and it's a beautiful morning here at the Thoroughbred Center. A little bit on the nippy side, but, you know...
It's 32.
The temperature is 32?
Yes.
That's nothing. That's not. Anyway, I think it's nice.
Uh-huh.
And,
I didn't say it wasn't nice. Yeah. Did I say it wasn't nice?
This is being a very nice start to the winter. I mean, time last year, we'd already had snow. We had everything else. As a matter of fact... The last week in October was miserable. I remember telling you, Jackie, or you telling me, one or the other.
Probably me telling you.
It was probably you telling me. Anyway, that it was going to be a long winter, and it turned out to be just that.
But you know what? In 1942, yesterday, set a record of 78.
Is that right?
Yeah. So it was a lot warmer in the early 40s than it is now.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's a nice day here at the Thoroughbred Center. We're over at the HPPA office, which is over on the backside, over on the hill, as we call it out here. We come over here during the winter months. Gets a little, don't want to bother the clock in there, you know, and it get, you know, when it gets so cold that they can't sit outside, you know, and clock. It gets a little hairy in there, you know, with people coming in, trainers coming in, and we're too noisy. So.
Well, and you're having been the clocker, you.
Well, I appreciate it, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, so, but, I did it for 10 years when they hired me out here to do the clocking after I'd stopped training, and they said that they needed a clocker, and would I do it? And I said, okay, I'll get you started, and I stayed for 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, I'm...
That's a good start.
That was a good start, yeah. it was fun.
It was fun.
But, you know, my hearing... hearing slipped a little bit, and I was having a little trouble understanding. I always had a hard time understanding the Hispanics, you know, which is understandable, you know. How far are you going? Fiats.
That's right.
Anyway, but then when I couldn't understand the Irish too well, I knew it was time to quit. So yeah, I did.
I think they laid some of that. The Irish bro got a little thick sometimes.
Threw a little Gaelic at me, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Just to get rid of me, probably.
Well, maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, it was fun. I enjoyed it. I love sitting up there and looking at horses. And you learn a lot, you know.
Yeah.
You learn a lot clocking that you don't get when you're training, believe
well,
it or
you
not.
See. Horse after horse after horse.
Yeah.
And they're all different. Some are subtly different. But you get to see that. You go, yeah. Ooh.
You know, you get so you can spot a grass horse.
Uh-huh.
You know, just by their gait, you know, when they're breezing.
Mm-hmm.
And nine times out of the 10, I would ask a trainer, is that a grass horse? And I'd be right about it. But there's something you just pick up, you know. And then when you learn little tricks about clocking, you know, you can look at a horse when they go by you and you know if they're going to work or not. There's little clues.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you know the riders. You know, he's got
and the equipment.
Yeah,
equipment always gives it away.
Yeah, equipment. But, ours never used any fancy equipment or anything when we were.
No, they take most of the equipment off when they breeze.
Yeah.
They take off tie down things and stuff so the horse doesn't get his legs caught in something.
Yeah, well, we didn't use a whole lot of that either as far as that goes.
No.
All right. What are we doing today? Well, Ralph Quillen's going to come in. Quillen Leather and Tack, Kentucky and probably the country's leading tack shop.
I would think, yeah.
Well, he's going to come by because he's doing something in Paris over there and then now in downtown Lexington, and I can't keep up with Ralph. He's got the Rooster Brewery down in there where he makes his own beer and everything, and it's right on Main Street in Paris. And he sells not only his, but every known brand of beer ever brewed, I guess. You can go in there and get it.
Yeah, and that's kind of fun. 100 bottles of beer on the wall.
Yeah, but he's expanding into Lexington. Well, I want to find out. I called him. I said, Ralph, for God's sakes. And he's buying more property in Paris, you know.
Well, we think. We don't know.
Well,
that's why he's coming in, right?
I'm going to find out, but I hear by the grapevine that he is.
Yeah, it's going to get, Rooster Brew's going to get bigger. That's what I heard.
Yeah. Pardon?
He's moving to Lexington?
Yeah.
I can get to it? Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Russ's eyes lit up over there.
I know. Russie is finally awake. Somewhere down on Manchester Street is a brewery section, and he's going to go down there with a small place. So if you can roll yourself down to Manchester Street.
Well, getting there is no problem. It's getting home is a problem.
The taxi ride from Paris is a little expensive.
That's money. Yeah.
Well, anyway, Ralph's coming in. He's a lot of fun anyway. And so we're looking forward to having him here. I guess Michael Blowen is going to show up sooner or later. Usually later, but he's coming. Steve Moody, that's from the Kentucky Handicapper Street. We're late getting him on or something last week happened.
The guest got late.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Well, that's what happened. Maybe we can get him in the first hour or something this morning. We'll
check with him.
I guess he stayed up and watched that ball game on. Well, the feature on Louisville today is the Cardinal Handicap. It's for Phillies and Mares, 3 and up going a mile and an eighth. On the grass, I believe. Got jackets and announcements. Going to do some Joe Palmer. And want to do a little history, too, if I've got time. I was reading about Gallaret, something that Joe Palmer wrote. I'd love to read that if I can, because not only is he a great writer, but that was one of the all-time great race mares was Gallaret, foaled in 1942. And I didn't realize, but she and Busher, who was also a great race mare, were foaled the same year. Busher was the champion three-year-old. In fact, Busher was a champion three-year-old. I mean, a horse of the year.
Oh.
And when she was a three-year-old. And two great race mares. On the book the Blood Horse published, the top 100 runners of the 20th century, let's see, Busher was ranked second. But they ranked Ruffian first, then Busher, and then Gallaret. And I know Ruffian was brilliant. But, she didn't race that much and then broke down. I don't think she had but about eight or nine starts and never raced. Now, the other two were both pretty durable. And both of them competed against males in handicap divisions, you know. I mean, in three. In fact, Busher, as a three-year-old, was running against older handicappers, beat armed. Ooh. In Chicago. I mean, she was a great race mare.
Yeah.
And Ruffian never did that. I know nothing could get close to her. She breezed in every race she ever had. And the only time she met a male was the day she broke down in her last start, you know.
Yeah, I remember that. That was awful.
Yeah.
Woo.
Against Foolish Pleasure. All righty. Well, so anyway, we're going to talk about that. And a little bit when we get around to it. And let's see what else. I guess I didn't think about it right now. I guess that's about time to take a commercial break anyway. take care of my friends over at Cleburne Farm. And, well, let's see, the Cardinal handicap here. I've got, let me say something about that while I got it. You got a 13, field of 13 going, $100,000 grade three. I don't know who the favorite is in there. I'm looking down, just looking, man, it's kind of hard to say.
It seems to me Dortmund's coming to town, coming in sometime in.
Well, he ain't going to be in that one. You can bet on that.
No, but I mean, I can't remember. See, I get stuff and I read it online, and then it goes right out the other ear.
All right. All right. Well, three Wheelings at the disconcluded Keeneland November sales sold for $2 million or more, and all three were sired by Warfront. Headed by a filly, they went for a North American record of $3,300,000. Warfront stands for $200,000, due in the foal stands and nurses at Cleburne Farm. And there also is one of his grade one winning sons, Datalink. Now, Datalink ran a mile in 1:34.1 the day he won the grade one Maker's 46 mile, set a new course record for going a mile and an eighth in the grade two Monmouth Stakes, won 45-4, won the grade two Citation Stakes, ran a mile in 1:33 flat to win the Canadian Turf Stakes, ran yet another mile at Gulfstream Park in 1:33 flat, placed in three other graded stakes, including a game second to Horse of the Year Wise Dan in grade one stakes, and earned over $831,000. Datalink was a runner. He's by the immensely popular and successful sire, Warfront. He's out of a stakes winner from a prominent grade one family, and is a lot of horse for the money at $7,500. Due when the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, 859-233-4252, and see the website at CleburneFarm.com. Hopewell Insurance, my good friends, down in Paris, Kentucky. Hopewell Company, that's Ted and Joe McLean. Joe founded that, incidentally, company 60 years ago, founded November the 1st, 1955. Where was I November the 1st, 1955? I was in New Orleans. That's where I was. Down there with the Dixiana Racing Stable. And Joe founded that without asking for telling me or anything. How dare he?
Well, you could have been in jail at the time.
No, I was out.
Public drunkenness.
Yeah, probably should have been, but no one. But anyway, Joe is still going strong. And, of course, his sons, Ted and Jody, there and with him. And it's a great company. It is. We've been doing business with them now over 30 years. And they carry any kind of insurance you can think of. We carry with them everything. I mean, our cars, our farm equipment, the house, the barns, the liability, you name it, and they've got it. I even have a health insurance plan through them. And they're just wonderful people to do business with. I've never called them yet that, you know, I didn't get a direct answer and some action. And usually I've had a couple of little fender benders down through the years. No, neither one of my fault, of course. Anyway, I'd call them, and that's the last I'd hear of it. I'd call Ted, and I usually deal with Ted, and he says, we'll take care of it, Ursula, and that was the end of it. You know, that was neat. And then when a house got struck by lightning once, you know, they took care of that.
They were there. They were there in a half an hour.
Yeah, we didn't miss a trick.
No, they hot-wired it for the refrigerator and stove and furnace, I think, so we could struggle on in our pitifulness.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Started working on it next day.
Yeah, I recommend them. I don't care if you live in Bourbon County or California. I would carry my insurance with them. They're great people to do business with. And let me tell you how you get in touch with them. Give them a call, first of all. Let me give you the phone number. It's a Paris number, 859-987-2347. Or if you want to stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris, Kentucky, and I guarantee you that you'll be happy with them. Because from experience, I know what I'm talking about there, boy. I'll tell you what. Also, another top flight agency down in Gay Perry, Paris, Kentucky, is the Clay Ward Agency. And the Clay Ward Agency is, of course, all that they specialize, of course, in horse insurance. And Mr. James Clay Ward founded that back in 1931. Your 20 grand won the Derby. And right through the Depression, the business grew because of his hard work, his dedication to detail, great service, and thorough knowledge of the horse business. And those are qualities that are carried on today by Shaq Parrish and Bruce Isaacs and John Hess over at the Clay Ward Agency. So if whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred horse, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are in a great position to supply the best coverage at the best price available. So I would suggest that you get in touch with them. Let me give you a phone number. It's 859-987-1861. Just think of the year the Civil War started, 987-1861. Or you can go by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. And they're just right up the street from the Hopewell Company, as a matter of fact. And also, while you're there, and if you're looking for a place maybe to board a horse or two, or somebody to sell your horses, I would suggest that you get in touch with the folks over at Indian Creek, because they're closely associated with the Clay Ward Agency, have been for many, many years. And they do a great job of boarding horses there. They've raised stakes winners all over the world. And, of course, they sell at all the major sales. And it's a great place to board your horses. And so let me give you who to get in touch with and a number, and I'll give you a website for them. Well, let me give you the website first. It's IndianCreekKY.com, IndianCreekKY.com. Great people. And I would suggest that you give them a call and talk to either Shaq Parrish. Probably that would be your man down there. You can catch him at the Clay Ward Agency also, Shaq. And, of course, the farm manager down there, Nikki Giant. So, anyway, 987-7443 for Indian Creek.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursulele.
All righty. Let's see what we've got here. You want to call him? See where Michael is? Let's see where we're going here. Okay, the Kentucky Bred Stakes winners from last weekend. This brought to you by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. That's Chauncey Morris, based over at the Horse Park. And these are all Kentucky Breds that won stakes last weekend. I think I just said that. The Grade 2 Best Arabian Stakes up at Woodbine went to Miss Mischief. And Miss Mischief, a pretty easy winner up there. One by 2 1/4 length. She's by Into Mischief, who stands over at Spendthrift Farm. Half-brother to Beholder, by the way, and was bred by Alan Poindexter. The Grade 2, Mrs. Revere, went to Isabella Sings. Isabella Sings by Escondrea, bred by Sienna Farms. And there's an article in the Daily Racing Form today about the female family Isabella Sings. And it's a very interesting article. John Sparkman wrote it. The Grade 3 Bob Hope Stakes at Del Mar winner, Toes on Ice. And that's a 2-year-old colt from the first crop by Arch, 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 bred by Lackland Farm. Arch, 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 another spendthrift stallion. This is, as I said, his first crop. It's pretty good colt. Went 7/8 and 1/22 and 1. That'll win a few races for you. And it won by a length and a quarter. Took the lead at the half mile pole and just kind of steadily eased away from them. Arch, Arch, Arch stands for $500 over there, and looking like he's going to be a real bargain, sorry, if you can still get to him. The Grade 3 Red Smith Handicap, Mr. Maybe won that. That's a Ghost Zapper, bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings, Liberation Farm, and Brandywine Farm. I'm sure he raised over at Brandywine. Ghost Zapper, of course, stands at Adena Springs. Great racehorse, great racehorse. Good sire, too. Desi Arnaz stakes at Del Mar. Lucky Foley won that, and that's a 2-year-old filly by the champion sire, Distorted Humor, bred by Worth, Hammer, and Freer, raised right up the street here at Haggard Farm on Paris Pike. Dr. Charlie's old place. The Smart Halo Stakes at Laurel winner was Lost Raven. That's one of 7 2-year-old stakes winners from the first crop by Uncle Mo, who stands at Ashford Stud. Bred by the Rapoli Stables, and Uncle Mo, that's my good friend Doug Beyer, who passed away much too soon. He thought that Uncle Mo was a great racehorse. With the winning under the conditions that he did, he was had some liver problems as a 3-year-old, and he was, you know, posted one of the fastest buyers of, about a 118, I think, while he with his problems, you know. And Doc says, and to me, whatever Doc Beyer said was gospel, said this was a great racehorse to compete like he did with that problem. So it looks like... Doc, if you're listening upstairs, you're going to make a great sire. It looks like it's got 7 2-year-old stakes winners in first crop and a couple of 2 grade 1 winners. The James F. Lewis III stakes at Laurel winner Awesome Speed by Awesome again, another top racehorse and another top sire. And he stands at Edina Springs. And he was bred by Alan Poindexter, who had a, and I think he bred him in partnership with Edina Springs. Mr. Poindexter did. And the winner, Awesome Speed, and he is, of course, the sire Ghost Zapper, and both of them stand down at Edina Springs. The Oakland Stakes at Golden Gate Field, Star Student, the winner at the Student Council, bred by Millennium Farms. Right up the road here also, Paris Pike, getting a lot of action. The Christopher Elson Memorial Stakes at Parks, Big Louie D by Stormy Atlantic, bred by the Cross Sabres Farm. Wired to field, went by 4.5 lengths. Louie did. Big Louie. Sounds like he's named after a gangster. The Donna Frayer Stakes at Parks, winner, 8th Wonder by Pioneer of the Nile. Golly gee whiz, this filly. Going 6.5 furlongs. She won by 9.25 lengths. And that's the way to win them. You don't have to sweat at the eighth pole home, do you? Well, she was 7 in front at the eighth pole. Pioneer of the Nile, of course, at Windstar Farm, bred by Griffin Investments. Don't know those folks, but they look like they got a good filly. Who's she race for? Well, races for them, too. I'll have to find out who that is. The City of Phoenix Stakes out of Turf Paradise was won by Winning Vision. Winning Vision by Pollard's Vision. Bred by John J. Greeley IV, Phil Houchins, Dennis Bohannon, and Paul Wedge. So, carried 122 pounds, went by 2.5 lengths, 3/4 and 9 3 for this Pollard's Vision. I don't know where he's now. I think he left Kentucky, but I'm not sure about that. Well, First Defense is the sire of 7 stakes horses, 4 stakes winners this year. Irish Jasper is one of the Grade 3 Miss Preakness Stakes, the Grade 3 Victory Ride Stakes, and the Bell Harbor Stakes. Antoneau, who's won a Group 3 Stakes, is a 2-year-old in France. Dundanelle, a Group Stakes winner in Great Britain, has won the Rich Sprint Cup Stakes in Hong Kong. Fame and Power won Pimlico Sir Barton Stakes and is placed in 3 others, including Graded Stakes at Keeneland and Churchill Downs. 3 more placed in stakes, 2 in England, the 3rd in Kentucky. First Defense is siring runners for $7,500 live foal and stands at Judmont Farm. And let me remind you that he has sired an Eclipse Award winner in his first crop. First Defense is a Grade 1 winner himself. He's by the top sire, Unbridled Song. He's out of Empire Maker's half-sister, Honest Lady, and she's a Grade 1 winner, and a daughter of Seattle Slough. Now, that's a sire pedigree if there ever was one. And he's a very, very nice, a lot of horse for the money at $7,500. Why don't you call Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Frey at Judmont at 859-272-7629, and see the website at judmont.com. Here you go, Jackie.
Ha-ha! All right. Down through the years, we all know this. Many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack have walked into a Sally van on their way to win in the Kentucky Derby or at the Breeders' Cup, and yes, to a Triple Crown. Think about that the next time you ship your horse cross country or cross the county. Sally vans are always in tip-top condition. Person behind the wheel is an expert, experienced driver. And that, and an experienced horseman, my friends, that's a winning combination. Folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why, for more than 6 decades, Sally Van's been the safest way to the winner's circle. So give them a call, 859-255-9406, and see the website at sallyvans.com and enjoy the ride.
Well, Constitution, a multiple grade one winner and a millionaire by the number one ranked sire in North America, that would be Tepid, is now at Windstar Farm, going to stand his first season at stud next year, and he's available for your inspection. By a champion sire, not of a daughter of a champion sire, Distorted Humor. Constitution won the grade one Florida Derby and just his third career start. The next year, in his first start, he won the grade one Don Handicap. He also placed in Churchill's grade one Clark Handicap. He was on the board in five of his eight starts, and he earned over $1 million. His 111 buyer is the co-fastest among Tappet's grade one winners and the fastest around two turns. Constitution's a half-sister. His half-sister won the grade three Tempted Stakes as a two-year-old. His dam placed in stakes, and she's a sister to a grade two stakes winner Surfer, half-sister to grade one winner MC. Quite a family there. He's also a grand individual. He was a $400,000 sales yearling. And he's going to stand his first season for $25,000, doing the full stands and nurses. So why don't you call Kyle Wilson or Sean Tugel or Caroline Walsh at 859-873-1717 and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center and Ursel Ellis.
All right, Jen, you know, I'm always reading something from Joe Palmer and his book. Well, This Was Racing was put together by Red Smith after Joe's death. And I never did read you the foreword to that book. And it was written by Red Smith. So I think I'll do it right now because it's very interesting, kind of touching. So here we go. A book ought to have some excuse for being written. Joe Palmer began in a book he never finished. Often this is left for the reader to discover, and all too frequently it is hidden too cleverly for him. This book, strictly speaking, wasn't written. It was demanded, or at least requested. Within a day or so after Joe Palmer's death, on October 31, 1952, letters from his readers began to arrive. In a surprising number, the same suggestion appeared. I've never been to a racetrack. I have no interest in racing, and I never met Mr. Palmer, yet I feel I've lost a friend. Can we have his work preserved for us in book form? This is the result, a selection of the graceful, witty, wonderful pieces by the man who was America's best-known racing writer, and in the opinion of many, the best writer of sports anywhere. Almost everything here appeared in the New York Herald Tribune between February 1946, when he joined the paper, and the day he left an unfinished column in his typewriter. One would wish to call this the best of Joe's work, but the claim would be difficult to support. All any collection can pretend to be is a reflection of the tastes and enthusiasms of the collector. And Joe was too prolific, infuriatingly so, to those who worked with him in the press boxes and bled at chores which he tossed off without apparent effort, for anyone to work out the load. When everything is superlative, what is the best? At any rate, This Was Racing, as Joe Palmer saw it, horses like Man of War, as near to a living flame as horses ever get. Places like Saratoga, which wears tradition lightly, because it is a graceful, irresponsible, gay tradition, and its ghosts are pleasant ghosts. People like Lion Fitz, whose wooden-legged stable cat could catch mice with one hand and blackjack them with the other. And the minister's son, who grew up in a church painted in the racing colors of its irreverent benefactor. So what chance did a boy have? Joe Palmer took, publicly, no serious view of the world he loved. Flinching under the resounding titles of racing editor of the New York Herald Tribune and Columbia Broadcasting System's turf analyst, he insisted he was no noted lover of the horse, but of a way of life, which the horse was once, and in a few favorite places still is, a symbol, a way of charm and ease and grace and leisure. Grace and charm should perhaps not be tampered with at this late date, but at whatever risk of boasting, I'm as good at ease and leisure as any man alive. This was a lie, of course. Joe was a prodigious liar, where truth was not important. No man who wrote had more grace and charm. Few men had less ease and leisure, for he wrote all the time. To him, racing was fun, or rather, the life which racing made possible and which revolved around racing was fun. He looked for fun always, even when he was at the typewriter sketching out the outline for a chapter of a book on racing. How to Enter a Racetrack was the tentative caption of the chapter, and the notes went like this. Physical arrangement of tracks, placing of grandstand and clubhouses, paddock and walking ring, stations of touts and tipsters, relative merits of red, green, and yellow selection card, how to offer a stranger a match, interval between races, value of looking at horses in paddock and in post-parade, reading odds board, shoe board, scratch board, selection and disposal of pari-mutuel tickets, fabrication of explanations for losers, dark machinations of turf well known to everyone but those who know are never on the inside, value of tips, value of buying round-trip tickets on race train. It would have been an enriching book. It did not get written. It seems hardly necessary to observe, unlike most other writers in his field, Joe Palmer offered no system for beating the races, nor any banal suggestion that all men are equal on the turf or under it. A realist, he recognized the one as non-existent. A man of discriminating tastes, he rejected the other as undesirable. Nor did he ever refer to a sport of kings, a sport of ladies and gentlemen and cheerful brigands and small, skillful boys was good enough for him. That's why his book is not only for racing fans, but also for ladies and gentlemen and brigands and boys, including those who would not recognize a horse without a milk wagon attached. In forewords like these, it is customary to acknowledge the contributions of those who have participated in the work. Not here. Those who have had a part in this are well aware of it and have their own satisfaction in it and would not want credit for what was a great privilege. Red Smith. All right, and then the book opens. In case you haven't got this book, well, you ought to go online and try to find it.
It's hard.
It's difficult. Sometimes there's none there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great book. But out of print.
Okay. Well, this was Joe's explanation, I think. It probably was written when he beginning writing a column for the New York paper. And it's headed One Apostle's Creed, and this was written by Joe Palmer. Since this spectator will be trying, as well as he knows how, to bring you some of the color and interest and personality of racing, maybe he should begin with a sort of manifesto. A prejudice witness is all right, if you know what his prejudices are. So this is by way of helping you to make allowances. Thoroughbred racing is an unusual sport, in that anyone who goes past a racetrack feels privileged to throw a rock or two over the fence. There are quite possibly persons, even persons who work on newspapers, who are not entertained by football or basketball or track meets. But it does not, therefore, occur to them to oppose these sports or to say unpleasant things about these sports. The reaction is just to pass by with a reflection obtained secondhand from Thoreau that if a man does not keep step with his fellows, it may be because he hears a different drummer. Racing, whatever else it inspires, certainly produces no indifference. This is presumably because of the betting, for there is a polite fiction that there is something ignoble about supervised betting as compared with betting over which no one exercises control. To be sure, racing has often encouraged attack. It has been frequently found apologizing for itself when there was no one within earshot. It has attempted to play down its popularity while other sports were boasting of their attendance and the volume of their support. The notion here, take warning, is that racing is an athletic contest among horses. If the spectators can whip the total decider, meanwhile, that's all right too. But it isn't what people go to see, and it isn't what you pick up a paper to read about. This statement is frequently made that people go to the races to bet. This is a half-truth, or a three-quarter truth, or a seven-eighths truth. It is denied in part by the fact that the worst betting race on the card, the steeplechase, inspires the most excitement and interest. It was denied in part last year when Star Pilot brought off the stable odds in the Futurity. Practically no one paid any attention to the Futurity winner. They were watching his stablemate, Bogey, which had fallen through the rails and off the course. At any rate, it is the remaining half or quarter or eighth which this onlooker finds most interesting and which he will try to report. Another opinion the writer has held for years and consequently isn't prepared to change is that racing, apart from being big business in itself and an outlet for the good-sized breeding industry, contains a fairly large element of fun, born largely of the fact that people who must daily accept hazards must joke about them or become introverts. And you can hardly find an introvert at a racetrack on Decoration Day. There is a humorous fatalism among professional racing people, best expressed perhaps by the riding instructions given to a steeplechase jockey some years ago by a stable foreman. Don't be scared of dying, just let him run. The professional horseman, moreover, is a thorough individualist. He has to be, for his hand is against every man, and every man's hand against him. He must, on occasion, win at the expense of his best friend, and he must be able amicably to share the trainer's stand with a man whose horse is beaten him a nose on the post for $50,000. He must keep his own counsel, too. Just a fragment of knowledge carelessly given away may enable a shrewd jockey to plot a winning race against his best horse. He must stand or fall on his own knowledge and his own judgment. Out of the contact and occasionally the clash of such personalities, a good many interesting stories emerge, more or less held in solution on the racetracks and not very often tapped for public entertainment. And more of them were told, perhaps racing would be understood a little better. The contention isn't that everything is all right in racing. If there is any considerable industry involving millions of dollars and thousands of men in which everything is all right, it ought to be stuffed and put on exhibition. As far as I know, racing has never claimed to build character. It does what other business does. It develops what a man has, be it good or ill. You can expect from this department neither Minos nor Rhadamathus, nor the other one, I forget his name. I have been interested in racing ever since I can remember, and I have been intimately connected with breeders, owners, trainers, track operators, stable hands, racing commissioners, and others for nearly 12 years. So my view of racing is inextricably woven of likes and dislikes, loyalties and prejudices, and preferences. These are the inevitable freight a man picks up as he goes about the stables, the grandstand, the paddock, and the secretary's office, and they cannot be stored anywhere but in his own head. If they sometimes tug at his typewriter, the man cannot very well prevent it. He can try to be fair, no more than fair, but he has no real surety of doing either. But at least he can remember that a fact is not the same thing as an opinion and keep the distinction clear to his readers. That was Joe Palmer. All right, well, Ralph Quillen has joined me. I'm going to do a spot here. By golly, he can do his own commercial.
Oh, you get so much better.
Let me get this going. I'm going to have Ralph on here just a minute. Whatever happened to Michael Blowen? He's supposed to.
I don't know. Huh? We're going to get Moody. We'll want to delay him a minute.
All right. Well, we'll get him later on. I got my man over here now. Okay. Let me do this good. Well, Greater Good won 4 stakes, 3 graded, placed in 2 more, both graded, set a new track record at Church Downs and earned over $546,000. He's by Intadab. Hit Heart Hoof won 2 stakes in New York, including the Grade 3 Toboggan, placed in 3 other stakes, set a new track record at Aqueduct, and he earned over $519,000. He's by Intadab. Dab Nabbit, I love that name. Dab Nabbit won 3 stakes at Monmouth Park and earned over $283,000. He, too, is by Intadab. Lauren Ted Ice won stakes at Belmont and Aqueduct and placed in 5 more New York stakes and earned over $236,000. Another Intadab. We can go on, but you should get the picture. Intadab siring runners. In fact, 10% of his foals. Now, that's foals, not starters. 10% of his foals have won a place in stakes. So call Kent Barn to Chadwell Farm, 859-224-4585. Talk to him about the stallions there, Intadab, Albertus Maximus, De Hare. Ask about breeding incentives and see the website at ShadwellFarm.com. Quillen Leather and Tack, and I've got the man right here with me this morning. Ralph Quillen just came knocking on the door. Ralph, good morning.
Good morning. When you said it was a little...
Get a little closer.
When you said it was a little stone house, I didn't believe you. It is a little stone house. This is nice.
You know, I saw a picture of that and a picture taken in about 1912 of this area, and this little stone house was sitting there.
Oh, yeah.
You know. I mean, it was
really old, really thick walls.
This was part of the old Whitney families, you know, this land bone in here. They called it Log Cabin Stud at one time. And it's had several names down through the years. I think Mr. Combs, Leslie Combs, leased it for a while, too.
Wonder if these things inside these thick walls would be log. That'd be interesting.
I don't know.
I don't know either, but the walls are really thick. They're about, what, 8 inches, you guess, looking at them? More than that, yeah. Oh, yeah, over here. Look at that's a foot, if it's anything.
Yeah. But anyway.
Anyway.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Ralph Starr, when did you found Quill Intact now? I mean, how many years ago?
In 82.
1982. Oh. Hell, that's like yesterday.
Yeah, seems like. Seems like.
Well, it's the nation's largest custom halter shop. And I'm doing a hell of a job repairing, too. That's where I get all mine repaired. And
we're kind of a dying breed. There's very few people that still are really a tack shop. So most just buy and sell. And you know.
Yeah.
So we've actually got elves in the actual real elves in the basement working on sewing machines that were built in 1904. So
wow. You're kidding.
Right. No. That is,
well, you go down there and do it, too. I've seen you. Yeah, I've caught you down there.
Upon occasion. It's like more I'm more fixed the computers and that kind of stuff. So
well, I don't know how you're good on a computer, but you're pretty good with a halter.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Is Wayne still with you?
Wayne's still there.
Oh yeah,
he's I think he takes off on Fridays now, so he's easing himself into retirement. Maybe.
Oh my gosh.
He's not old enough to retire.
No, that's what we keep telling him. So
you have to lock the door on him.
Yeah,
well, it's a great taff shop. Great gift shop.
Well,
we do a lot of our Christmas shopping.
Well, and Wayne, if something's wrong with your saddle, he can fix it. He just puts it back together or whatever it is. You don't have to worry about sending it off or doing something crazy like that because he's fixed everything I've got.
I've got three or four old girls over there you ought to be paying board on because they tear halters each other off the time of that. Although you're taking too good a care for the old friends over there, Michael. I don't know where Michael is. He's usually here this morning. You know, I hope he's okay.
Every time I see him, he costs me money, so he can just hold off.
All right. Well, anyway, it's a great tack shop. If you haven't been over there, let me tell you how to find it. It's you go into Parrish, if you're in Lexington Road, go into Parrish, go to the third stoplight on the left, and there it is, Quill and Leather Intact, and it is a great gift shop. Nice people working in there. They treat you good, they're pleasant, you know, and they know what they're doing. And if you ask for something, they know exactly where it is.
Or can get it for you.
So.
Well, you know, the purse I was showing in my purse I've got over here, I got that I don't know how many years ago. I take that everywhere, and it doesn't break. You know, all you have to do, it's real leather. Just clean it up like you do a saddle. It looks good. If I do that, I will do that.
I tell you what, though, you ought to see this purse. The thing weighs about 20 pounds, and you could lose a 45 in it, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
It's a great tack shop, and if you keep going straight down, and this is what we want to talk about in just a few minutes here, is Rooster Brewery, which was founded by Ralph also. We're going to talk about that. And then I understand he's branching out. And I had to call him and come in and explain what the hell he's doing because I can't keep up with him.
We're going to have to come up with a plan?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, that's Quill and Leather Intact and Rooster Brewery. We're going to talk about that in just 1 second there.
Quillen, Quillen.com.
Yeah, Quillen.com.
I-N.
See, moved it.
What did I say? All right, well, last Saturday at Law, Lost Raven, a two-year-old filly by Uncle Mo, won the $100,000 Smart Halo Stakes, and on the same card, El Caber, a three-year-old Cobra Scat Daddy, won the $100,000 City of Laurel Stakes. Undefeated Lost Raven is the seventh stakes winner from the first crop by Uncle Mo, the nation's leading sire of two-year-olds, and the sire of a likely Eclipse Award winner. Well, he's a lock, Nyquist. Ranked second on the two-year-old sire list is Scat Daddy with 8 two-year-old stakes winners, including an unprecedented 7 graded stakes winners. Uncle Mo and Scat Daddy both stand at Ashford Stud, where standing champion sires is a tradition. A young stallion with the credentials to carry on that tradition is champion declaration of war by the immensely popular War Front. A champion in Europe, beaten just a quarter length in the Breeders' Cup Classic, his only start on the dirt, declaration of war, earned $1,847,000. He's a superb individual. He's siring superb individuals. His first crop winning sold for up to $800,000. Mares and foal to him were up to $775,000 at the November sales. So now's the time to call Ashford Stud, home of champion sires, to make plans for the 1916 breeding season. The number, 859-873-7088, and check the website, coolmore.com.
Now, back to Horsetails with Ursel Ellis.
All right. Well, Ralph Quillen is here with me, and now how long?
How he's dressed?
What you got?
This is radio. You got to explain. He's got a yellow cap with a Rooster Brew on it. He's got a jacket with a Rooster Brew on it. And he's wearing a shirt with a Rooster Brew on it, and that's as far as I'm going.
You're as bad as
it makes it. It makes it easy to get up and get dressed in the morning. You just go to the closet and just pick up logo wear and go.
It's like going to Catholic school.
Yeah, we got our uniform.
We got a uniform. Well, all right, now, how long now has Rooster Brewery been in business?
We opened in April of 14, so a year and a half.
Gosh, yeah. It seems longer than that. Wow.
Well, you livened up downtown Paris, and as much as downtown Paris will liven up.
Yeah. Well, really, there really wasn't anything. Kind of the joke is when we have a really, a big night, and we go oh, man, we're putting the hurting on Jerry's, because there's really no place to gather in Paris. There really isn't. It hasn't been for quite some time. So we kind of got over some growing pains where people just got in the car and headed to Lexington. And, it takes a while for folks to figure out that, there's really kind of something to do or a place to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's quite a selection of beer there, too.
I guess. At one time, I think we had 150 different bottled varieties.
Wow.
And now I think it's probably down to about 100. And then we've got at least six of our beers that we make right there on the premises on tap and a couple of guest taps. So there's beer. There's a little bit of everything.
Where do you get your hops?
They come from all over. It's just you call suppliers. I think most of the hops that we're using, they're all coming out of Oregon. They're all coming from the West Coast.
Out of Oregon?
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, there you are.
There you
are. Now we know. Yeah.
And there's been some interest in Kentucky. There's some folks that are starting to grow hops here. The climate is such that they can do that.
Is that right?
Yeah, who's
hops,
doing that?
Are hops a vine or just a tall?
It's a vine, and you actually have to build a 20-foot tall trellis.
Is that right?
Yeah. So they'll actually just they'll spin.
So
up
it'll
up,
climb up it.
They'll spin up a piece of rope, and then they'll harvest. When they harvest, they go and just cut the ropes and lay everything on the ground.
Yeah. Boy,
I'll be darned.
Well, it's fun to go in there. I've been in there a bunch of times, and you always go and find somebody you know.
It's really funny. Is we've got people that will come up and they'll sit at the bar and they sing our praises. Our staff is we'll talk, and then we'll kind of hand them off. We'll hand the customer off to the customer next to him, and then we'll move on to the next people. Mm-hmm. And some folks have gone man. I haven't seen him since high school, so it's really it's really pretty interesting. And we've it hadn't become quite like Cheers where we yell Norm when someone comes in, but we've got and I hate to use the term regulars, but we've got some really great friends that have been developed just by just them coming in. I mean, really great friends. So.
Yeah, that's excellent.
So yeah, so I mean that's fun. That's the beer's one thing and selling's one thing, but the friends we've made are
you just open three nights a week.
We're just open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. There's no Sunday liquor sales in Paris, so we'd love to be we'd love to have football and basketball on the TV, but we'd have to give you a Coke and pretzels, and that's not much fun.
That's not going to do now. Now, what time do you open on those days?
We open the posted hours are 4:30 to 11:30.
Uh-huh.
Generally, we'll be in a little bit early. Probably this winter, we'll maybe move back on Saturdays a little bit to 2:30 or 3 o'clock, something like that.
Yeah, because it's dark.
Yeah. At 5:30, it's dark.
Does the business pick up in the winter?
It's like any retail business. It's just go figure. Especially the restaurant business is you just can't figure out where did everybody on Thursday night, where did everybody come from?
Yeah.
But it'll be, yeah, it kind of will. When you get, especially in almost like August and September, it seems like everybody's getting ready for school, last vacations, all that kind of stuff. We'll see stuff kind of drop off.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started doing like a trivia night on Thursday nights, and that gets like, we fill the place up with locals, and they all come in and compete. You know, answer questions. And
yeah, I know a lot of people in the horse business go into that. Yeah.
And then we started back in May of last year, we started doing food trucks. So we started bringing food trucks out of Lexington down every Friday, and that met with a considerable amount of resistance on the local level. And they just didn't understand or didn't grasp that it was a motivator to bring people downtown.
Yeah.
We're trying to take their business.
Yeah.
Plus, I think it made a few people actually have to update their restaurant menus that were probably 8 years old. So I think they probably didn't like that either. And then
bologna is going to take you only so far.
Well, we're going to open this restaurant in Lexington, and fried bologna is going to be on the
menu. Oh, I love fried bologna.
You're going to open a restaurant in Lexington?
It's and the brewery, yeah. So that was kind of the plan all along in Paris, was to do a tap room and a restaurant. And there's just, you'd love to say, man, there's all these great people in Paris, and they're all going to come out and support us. But, you know, there's just 20,000 people. There's 400,000 in Lexington. So
it'd be hard, I would think, just off the top of my head, to have a restaurant that's just open three nights. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
But I don't know. We're toying with a lunchtime kind of place. So
a what kind of?
Something lunch for lunch.
Oh yeah.
So we've kind of got a niche in the back of our mind there, and Donna kind of wants to do that. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let me interrupt you. I got to pay some bills here. We'll get back, then we're going to talk about. I want to learn more about this place downtown. Well, last Saturday, Del Mar, the Grade 3 Bob Hope Stakes, was won by Toes on Ice. That's spelled T-O-E-W-S, Toes on Ice. I wonder why they did that. Anyway, it's a 2-year-old colt in the first crop by Arch Arch Arch. And the next day at Woodbine, Miss Mischief, Into Mischief, won the Grade 2 Bessarabian Stakes. Toes on Ice was bred by Lackland Farm and sold for $110,000 at Keeneland. He has won 3 stakes in a row, and he is one of 10 winners, 3 stakes horses, 2 graded stakes horses from Arch 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 first crop. Grade 1 winner Arch 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 is from the Stamina Sire line of Arch Chris S. Roberto. He's eligible for Spendthrift's Breed Secure program. He's a bargain at $5,000 doing a full stint in nurses. Now, Miss Mischief has now earned over $522,000 in the Grade 2 Bessarabian, was a 4 stakes win. Bred by Ellen Poindexter, she's a $125,000 graduate of the Phasey Tipton July sale. Into Mischief, one of Spendthrift's original share of the upside offerings, has already sired 3 millionaires headed by Golden Sense, 2 times winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, and of over $3 million. He's by Harlan's Holiday. Into Mischief is a half-brother to Beholder. His book is full for 2016. So call Des Dempsey, Brian Lila, Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030. Ask about the Breed Secure and the Share of the Upside program, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Lubricin and Reborn. Ralph, you've been going to have to start taking some of this Lubricin. It's
a beer chaser.
Jackie says it's a beer chaser.
And they call it now HR. Their website now says Lubricin HR.
Oh,
I don't know what that hyaluronic acid or,
I don't know, but it's Lubricin and Reborn are 2 products that both developed by Dr. Steve Alday, one of the nation's top veterinarians, and they are products endorsed by owners, trainers, and veterinarians. And the reason I suggested to Ralph that he take Lubricin because they also make it for people, and especially old people like me.
Right.
And Jackie.
Take me out of that category.
And, what it does, it's all they, and you can pass a spit test with it too, by the way. So you don't have to worry about going into the spit box. They're all natural. And what it does is it sustains the integrity of joint fluid. And it really does. I know a bunch of people who take it that they even sell it over at, of course, they sell everything over to old friends that he didn't make a buck with, but as you well know. But he takes it. I think everybody over there is on it, and all those old horses are on it. And they make it a little flavorful for us people like that. But I swear I can tell the difference with it. You know, it's, I really can't.
Well, it's just replacing something that you might not have in your joints anymore.
Well, they're more important than people in Ursula Ellis would use it. I tell you, Todd Pletcher uses it on his horses, and that's a pretty good recommendation right there. So does Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollandoffer and Mike Maker. You can go on.
And why's Dan on it?
Well, no, he went on Charlie Lopresti used the other Reborn.
Oh, okay.
For Wise Dan. I expect the other people use that too, because what Reborn done, it's a dietary supplement for horses, and it's starting with foals, and it strengthens the immune system. I probably ought to be taking that.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, they're great products. Here's where you can really find out more about it than sitting here and listening to me blather. Lubricin.com, Reborn, Reborn.com. You can buy it at Old Friends or KBC over in Lexington, or Horse Sense down in Versailles. And I hate to plug those two, but Ralph, you need to sell them too.
I need to take it.
You need to take
there
it.
You
yeah.
go. Yeah. All that stuff.
All right. Well, they're great products. And once again, it's lubricin.com or reborn.com. Well, the demand for progeny of broken vow remains strong this year. Weanings sold for up to $165,000. Yearlings for up to $350,000. Two-year-olds for up to $950,000. Mare and foal to him brought $1.6 million. And that's because horsemen know that broken vow sires runners. 61 stakes runners, well over 100 stakes horses, still going strong. Broken vow, $25,000. You don't have to pay it until the foal stands up and looks at you. Alternation, also at Pin Oak Stud, descends from the same female family as Broken Vow. He is by champion sire Distorted Humor. Alternation was a high-class runner, a multiple graded stakes winner, and a millionaire. He's a grand individual, and he's siring grand individuals. He stands for $7,500 doing the full stands and nurses. There, too, is Cowboy Cow, the nation's third-ranked, third-crop sire. He also is a multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire. He's by champion sire Giants Causeway, and he stands for $5,000 due in the full stands and nurses. Call Clifford Barry and Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420 and see the website pinoakstud.com.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursula Lele.
All right, I'm talking to Ralph Quillen, and he's opening a new place down on Manchester Street?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Down in the distillery district.
Is it going to be called Rooster Brewery, too?
We don't have a name yet. And actually, it's a partnership with the Gastronomes, which is the number one food truck in central Kentucky. Award-winning, great guys, great friends.
What kind of food did they sell?
Oh, gosh, everybody asks. And it's like, it's the same kind of food you'd find at a gastropub, but nobody really knows what a gastropub is. But they will come up with, they do a gourmet hamburger. They'll do sushi off a food truck. They'll do authentic ramen. It's just really, really, really good food. Go to, check them out on Facebook, and they post their menus up there, and it's hard to describe what they do, but it's really kind of incredible. They came to us 6 or 7 months ago and said, "Do you want a partner on a joint in Lexington?"
And we had love joint.
Yeah, I mean that might be a name. You know, I mean that might be a name.
The joint.
The joint. I mean just joint. Yeah. Well, you can't do joint. I get the joint. So, but it's but they came to us and said, "Do you want a partner on you know, food truck and a brewery going together?" And there've been a lot of breweries that have opened restaurants. There have been a lot of food trucks that have gone and opened brick and mortars, but there's never, to our knowledge, any place been a food truck and a brewery that have actually come together and started a third entity. Uh-huh. So it'll be full service, kind of grab and go restaurant. We might brew a little bit up there. We're expanding the brewery in Paris to take care of that capacity, but primarily a restaurant and tap room. In one of the great biggest, like there's a 5-story warehouse down there, and it's where Pepper is, where Break Room is, and Ethereal Brewing, and some other folks are down there already. So mm-hmm. it's a pretty jumping kind of campus right now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, exactly where is Manchester Street?
Manchester Street runs off of High Street. So if you stand at High Street and Manchester Street and look straight forward, you'll see the side of Rupp Arena. So it goes down to there's the old rock quarry down on Forbes Road. So it used to be
where
we're going is the old Jace Pepper Distillery Complex, and there's a half a dozen buildings down there. There were a couple other distilleries that were down there.
big brick building.
Huge. And then
building.
it's if you go a little bit further, there's McConnell Springs. Huh. And I think they're talking about, and I don't know whether it's going to be the, whether it's going to be the, what the trail name is, but they're working on, actually, there's going to be a walking and biking trail that actually goes from Rupp Arena, I think, follows the old creek that runs under the city and then runs out to McConnell Springs. Mm-hmm. And it'll be coming like right through that district. So they're almost funded, I think, on that. So should be good.
Yeah, I need to go down and see where. have you got the property already?
Okay. We've signed a letter of intent. We're working on the lease right now. Actually, it is a 210,000 square foot 5-story warehouse, and then we'll have 3,600 square feet in the first floor. So I think they're going to develop about 20,000 square feet to begin with. So
okay, what else will be going in there? Do you think?
We don't know. There was a coffee shop that was going to go in, but I think they've made other arrangements or changed their mind. Since we're the first announced folks, it will kind of, you know, that everybody's going to follow our lead, but the better, you know, they better follow our lead because it's a hot property down there.
Yeah. Is that the
place to be?
Jackie, we got to drive down there, you know.
I could open up a saloon.
There's already one down there. It's a place called the Break Room. It's in a it's in an old bunker. It's not much bigger than this room, which is tiny, by the way. And it's like, I mean, it's just, it's, I don't want to call it a dive bar, but it's kind of like a dive bar with patios. I mean, if you can imagine. And it's run by the same guy that owns Sidebar downtown. So, and it's really, yeah, I mean, it is really a gathering point. There was a food truck called Fork in the Road, and they opened a brick and mortar down there called Middle Fork. Crank and Boom does artisan ice cream. They've got a space down there. Ethereal Brewing opened up just right at a year ago. So there's another brewery and tap room down there. We're going to be a little bit different, where we're going to brew off site, bring in, feature 10 of our beers, 10 of somebody else's beers. Plus the food, a completely open kind of environment. And, you know, it's in a warehouse that's got 15-foot tall ceilings. So it just, you know, it lends itself to doing something fairly simple yet fairly grand.
Yeah, parking, no problem or anything?
There's a huge parking space. It's almost a campus where all the buildings surround the parking lot.
Ah.
And then there's about 4 acres worth of parking.
Can you picture it?
Yeah.
It's almost at the rock quarry. So it's just, you know, right before you get to the old railroad track. So.
Well, I just looked them up on the internet, and they got 5 stars. Yeah. I mean, the reviews are fabulous.
Yeah.
Who got the 5 stars?
Gastronomes.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And you can find it. You just put in Gastronomes Lexington, and boom, there you
are. And they do, like most food trucks in Lexington, they do the brewery circuit with 5 or 6 different locations. So, I mean, so there's pretty much, if there's a brewery in town, there's a food truck, somebody will be there each night.
Yeah. And now, when you open this place, what are your hours going to be?
Yes, you ask for a name and hours. You're asking all the hard questions. I think.
Will it be 3 nights a week?
No. I think the given is like everybody pretty much shuts down on Monday because everybody's got to rest. It will be right now. The thinking is Tuesday through Sunday.
Okay.
Brunch on Saturdays and Sundays, probably three or four till whatever 11 or 12 the other nights.
Yeah.
There'll be TVs there, but it's not going to be. It'll be kind of like Rooster Brew. It's not going to be a sports bar. If UK's playing, we'll turn it on. But I'm sure my partners are more into sports than I. So we might have to find a place to stick some TVs. We're both all of us. You know, there's 4 of us involved: Kyle, and Andrew from Gastronomes, and myself and my wife Donna. And we're all into music and live music, and we're all into culture, and we're all kind of into art. And we're certainly all into community.
And beer.
Yeah, and beer. Well, but more about, it's more about community. I mean, really, it's like.
It's great. Well, you've always said that about Paris. You've always talked about
community.
Doing community. Yes. Bringing people down.
And back when we brought the food trucks down the first time in Paris back in May, it was all the hoopla, and I think it even ended up at a council meeting. And I simply told everybody, listen, y'all, said, if Dancing Bears will bring people to my establishment, I will have Dancing Bears. But I can't find any, and food truck seems to be a viable alternative. So that's why we went to that. And you bring, I mean, we've had people from pizza to to first-rate barbecue to sushi to ramen noodles. So we've had, you know, if you look at the food truck market in Lexington, you know, then all the boys and girls that are out there, there's something for everybody. Yeah. You know, there really is.
Yeah, I think it's taken off like you wouldn't believe. I think, as a matter of fact, they may have had a seminar or something downtown about if you too want to own a food truck.
I'm at the top of the hour here. They get ticked off.
Gotta pay.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, November 14th at Aqueduct, the grade 3 $250,000 Red Smith Handicap was won by Mr. Maybe. 4-year-old son of Ghost Sapper. That same day at Lala, Awesome Speed, a 2-year-old colt by Awesome Again, won the $100,000 James F. Lewis Stakes. Mr. Maybe, bred by Thoroughbred Holdings, Liberation Farm, Brandywine Farm, and trained by Chet Brown, who described him as a horse with a lot of talent that's only getting better. Won the Red Smith by over 4 lengths, and he's one of 14 2015 stakes winners by Ghost Sapper. 6 of the 14 have won graded stakes, including another grade 1 winner. The James F. Lewis was the third start for Awesome Speed. He sprinted 6 furlongs in 9-2 in a tenacious performance. Bred in Kentucky by Ellen Pondexter and Adina Springs, Awesome Speed is a $335,000 grad of the Facey Tipton Florida March sale, and his win follows by a 1-week Spelling Again's win in Churchill's Grade 2 Shaluki Stakes. Spelling Again, another Awesome Again. Awesome Again, Ghost Sapper, father and son, both winners of the Breeders' Cup Classic, both sires of Breeders' Cup champions, both standing at Adina Springs, Kentucky. Also standing there is Eclipse Award winner Macho Uno, sire of Breeders' Cup Classic winner Mucho Macho Man, who too stands at Adina Springs, Kentucky. And Point of Entry, a winner of 5 grade 1 stakes and of over nearly $2.5 million. Inquiries at Cormac Breathnock, Jack Brothers at 859-987-1798, and see the website adinastallions.com.
Hear this. Fox Sports 1580 is available everywhere you want to listen on our free iHeartRadio app. Download it now. WWTF Georgetown, Lexington.
Triple Crown winner American Pharoah, his sire Pioneer of the Nile, and Grand Sire Empire Maker all stand for 6-figure stud fees. Cairo Prince from the same sire line stands for $15,000. Cairo Prince, not just another well-bred young stallion, he was a flat runner. Broke his maiden, first time out as a 2-year-old at Belmont, won the Grade 2 Nashville Stakes, and was a head bobbing second to Honor Code in the Grade 2 Remsen Stakes in 3 starts at 2. Then in his first start at 3, he won the Grade 2 Holy Bull by 5 3/4 lengths. Stamped himself as a leading contender for the Kentucky Derby. His trainer, Kieran McLaughlin, described him to be, this is a quote, as special as they come. He did everything effortlessly. He was a great 2-year-old and one of the best 3-year-olds I've ever been around. Unquote. A superb individual, Carol Prince was the most expensive weaning and yearling from Pioneer of the Nile's first crop. Stands at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and Sidon's Airdrie Stud. Your inspection's invited. See the website at airdriestud.com and keep in mind, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Now, back to Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis.
All right, I'm talking to Ralph Quillen. I've got to ask him this now. How in the world did you get interested in this kind of stuff? With this, I mean, you got the world's best tack shop to begin with, and you put all your kids through college doing with that tack shop.
Yeah, and I did learn one thing along the way. You don't educate the last one. Keep one of the kids at home. I've got one's a liver transplant surgeon, one's a bridge builder, and one's a meteorologist, and they're scattered all from Scotland all the way down to Texas.
Who's in Scotland?
Catherine is. Catherine's over there building a bridge in Edinburgh. So
she's an architect.
She's a structural engineer, and she's the senior field engineer on the project, so she can curse like a sailor.
Ooh, you know? That's great.
Proud Papa.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. But I don't know, Ursel. I was supposed to. My dad's a doctor. My son's a doctor. It skips generations, I joke, but I'm just maybe too. I was just really too impatient, you know. A little bit of college goes a long way, and a lot of college just like was kind of put me off. But it's so we went and found some other stuff. But we've had at one time we were farming 1,500 acres. We still got a couple of hundred mama cows. We've got gold leather intact. We've got some antique buildings in downtown Paris, which kind of is where this came from. We had old buildings we needed to do something with the brewery and craft brewery. Thing was just really kind of starting off in 2012, and Country Boy opened up, and we just started kind of thinking along those lines. But, mm-hmm. you know, I retired from the Lexington Fire Department, so, you know, work one day off two can get you in a lot of trouble. There's not a whole lot. I mean, urban renewal took care of a lot of our jobs up there, burn a lot of stuff up. You know, we pretty much did was train and cook pretty good meals.
And work a little bit.
So it gave you the chance to think, hey, what am I going to do on these next 2 days? And Lord, I thought it got me in, you know, didn't get me in trouble because I enjoy every bit of it. But
well, that's an important thing.
Yeah.
I remember the story you tell. You got one of your daughters works in San Francisco, and she was the engineer. And she says, you know, I may just retire, telling her coworkers, I may just retire and go home and run my dad's brewery. And she said, became the most popular girl in San Francisco. Hey, sir, her daddy owns a brewery.
but she was in an office and she'd had a really bad day. And she came in and threw her helmet down and a couple of expletives deleted that came out. And then when she said that, it was like the whole room went dead silent. All the chairs turned around. They all looked at her and it's like, oh, your dad owns a brewery. So her cachet went up considerably after that.
Yeah. You still running cattle?
Yeah, we've got a couple of partnership deals. We've got, there's probably 70 cattle at home and another 50 here, another 100 here. So we've got cattle kind of scattered.
What do you got?
All Black Angus.
Uh-huh.
How big is the farm you live on? It's a gorgeous place.
Where we are is 140 acres, and the house is like an 1814 federal, which maybe is where, you know, where my love for old buildings kind of came from.
When are you going to have another Christmas party? I mean,
yeah, Ursula, that's a lot of work. That's a lot. We need to. I know we opened a brewery. Come there. Yeah, that's right. We'll give you some jingle bells. We'll give you a Christmas ale and make you happy.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah, he said that stool got awful tall.
Oh, well, I tell you, I went in there and asked for a dark beer, and they handed me something. What do you call it? A snifter?
Yeah.
And a snifter. And he's got these stools that sit pretty high in there, you know. And I don't know what the alcohol content of that is. What that was.
He slept real well.
Well, I tell you what, that stool got awful shaky there for a while.
Well, that's the reason we sell it. The reason we serve it a snifter, a small, like 12 ounces out of the 16 ounce glass, is because it's about 8 or 9% beer. So we do it that way. You know, the smaller the glass, the higher the octane in the beer.
Well, they didn't tell me that.
Well, you didn't ask, Ursula.
He did when he got home. Let me ask you a question. What are you going to do? Are you enlarging the place in Paris? Did I read that, or why did I think that?
Yeah, we've got just like we own almost. When I say we, it's the royal we. It's me and I guess my poor wife. I suckered in on all this stuff.
That must have been a sales job.
No, it wasn't. She's like, you know, where Sally would have been. She's rolling over in her grave, and I've got all kinds of answers. You know, that I'm going to have to come up once we meet. The pearly gates, but Donna is like, you know, she's more than supportive. But we've got almost 30,000 square feet of old, like the youngest building is in 1896, so we've got, and they're all on Main Street.
Oh wow!
You know, and those are just the buildings downtown. That's not the tax shop or some other stuff. But we've got one building that is in the 400 block that is 15,500 square feet. It runs from Main Street all the way over to Pleasant Street.
Really?
And there's like a 4,000 square foot warehouse in the back. And it was built in like 1896. So we're going to expand the brewery, actually build a bigger brewery, about 400% larger than what we've got now. Move it down there so we've got production capacity. Because if the Lexington thing just kind of vaguely takes off, they'll drink as much beer as we can produce in a week, you know, in one day up there. So we'll move a larger brewery there. And then we're kind of talking about where the brewery space, that little 400 square foot is in Paris at Rooster Brew. We're talking about maybe putting a little kitchen in there. So.
Yeah. Wow. Do you, you remind me of some of Michael Blowen. Always thinking about it. Always. Do you keep up with all the details, or do you have little somebody follows you around and takes notes. It's all here.
I was introduced to a fellow once, and it was like, and this was on some agricultural stuff that we'd invented, and we're hawking all over the United States, going out and doing speeches. And I get introduced to this guy, and he goes like, oh, Ralph Quillen. And he doesn't know me from Adam, he goes, and the other guy must have just clued him in. He said, oh, that's the guy that doesn't sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. it'll be like 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll go like, oh, we can do this. And Don will go like, go back to sleep.
Wow. Because the detail on that kind of stuff, holy cow, most people have time, hard time keeping up with one project.
Well, you know, I guess 15. I was dyslexic before dyslexia was cool. So my mind works in a graphical kind of thing, so I can pull dissimilar stuff together and, you know.
Amazing.
Yeah, so yeah, no, it's...
I knew there was something weird about you.
I know, you know.
All right.
Well, beer would have a calming effect.
Yes, it does, yeah. Ralph, I'm going to have to let you go. I've got to get Steve Moody on here.
There you
give
go.
Me a winner.
All righty. Thank
well,
you all so much.
I
appreciate
let us know
it.
Now.
Yeah, listen.
I'll bring beer next time.
All right.
I was going to ask, that was my next question.
That woke Ressie up. Don't you flag him? You know, he drives an up truck downtown sometimes. You flag him down and hand him a beer.
Hand him a beer. We'll get it up here.
I've been in there. I've picked up some stuff and flavored over there.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Right. I bet it wasn't Miller's Light.
Another potential.
You've got a professional driver, Jeff, that's there every day. Jeff takes care of him.
There you go.
That's great. Well, listen.
Thank you all very much. I appreciate it.
Well, always fun. And fun talking to you. And, I knew that I would never get it straight, so I wanted you to straighten us out. Now, keep us posted whenever that something's coming up, that you're doing something down there, and you want to come in.
I'll do it.
Just sit down and walk in the door. We'll recognize you.
Yeah.
And
especially with that little rooster. What's Thursday night is now trivia?
Thursday night we do trivia. Friday night there's always a food truck, and then either then most Fridays or Saturdays we've got live music down there. Oh, and the first Saturday, I'll take this last moment, the first Saturday of every month, Liam Spancy is there playing Irish music.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Generally they bring dancers with them, and it's a hoot.
That's
a big
great.
Time.
You'll
big
have to
time.
Tell him. That they're bringing Smarty Jones back to Kentucky.
Yeah, he wrote that.
He wrote that song on Smarty Jones.
We got the CD. Now, what not when? First what of every month?
The first Saturday of every month, Liam's Fancy, Saturday. Irish music at Brewster Brew. So yeah. It's a big, big night. Big
Do
night,
you
so.
Know who's coming with food this week?
No, I don't. That's one of the things I've kind of like. I don't know whether I've delegated
just
or just like. It'll be a surprise. No, it is. On the fourth Friday, we do blues and barbecue. So there's a good friend named Willie Eames that comes down and plays blues music out of Lexington. He's incredible. And then I don't know, I'm sure we've got a barbecue truck, but it's kind of like, since I don't schedule those things anymore, I just like, okay, yeah. Somebody showed
right,
up.
Right.
Somebody shows up.
Sounds so. Delicious and fun.
It is. Mm. It is.
That yeah.
Is.
Willie can play. Willie's really good.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well,
really.
You're ringing Ressie's bell over
there. You
here.
Go. Right.
Ralph, thanks.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
Well, three wheelings at the just concluded Keeneland November sale sold for $2 million or more. All three by Warfront, headed by a filly that went for a North American record of $3.3 million. Warfront stands for $200,000 doing a full stance of nurses at Cleburne Farm. Also, there's one of these grade one winning sons, Data Link. Data Link ran a mile in 134.1 to take the grade one maker's 46 mile. Set a new course record for a mile and an eighth in the grade two Mama Stakes, 145.4. Won the grade two Citation Stakes, ran a mile in 133 flat to win the Canadian Turf Stakes. Ran yet another mile at Gulfstream, 133. Placed in three graded stakes, including a game second to Horse of the Year, Wise Dan, in grade one stakes, and he earned over $831,000. He was a runner. He's by the immensely popular and successful sire, Warfront. He's out of a stakes winner from a prominent grade one family, and he's a lot of horse for $7,500 doing a full stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams at 859-233-4252 and see the website, claibornfarm.com. If you're looking for a horse farm, the people to call are Hill and Reagan Parker, and they've got a great website listing a bunch of horse farms that they've got for sale. They've got farms in Fayette, Burpman, one right up the road from us. A beautiful, gorgeous place on Clay Kaiser Pike. And gee whiz, it
backs up to the.
I wish they were right next door to us, but Maybe we can.
It's beautiful.
Move down, scoot down, or something.
I don't know how we do that.
I don't know either.
Don't have a scooter and can't afford one.
Yeah. That, well, anyway, the Fed, Bourbon, and Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, and Clark—they've got an outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices. And if you're looking for a farm, they'll find the perfect farm for you. And they'll keep going and keep looking until they do. That's the kind of people that Hill and Reagan Parker are. If you're going to list your farm, I would say I'm going to list mine with them when that day arrives. And they're just the nicest people you ever want to do business with. I've known them forever. And I trust them, and that's why I would do business with them. And it's Hill and Reagan Parker, and their horses, website is lexhorsefarms.com, lexhorsefarms.com. Here's a phone number, 608-8039. You got a really nice place up right up here on Harpenis Road. Incidentally, you got a nice 66 acres up there with a four-bedroom place, house on it, over 3,000 square feet. And it's a turnkey horse operation, and you got it priced right. And I will take a look at that. They've got them all different sizes, right? The one on Clay Kaiser I was talking about is $12 million with a seven-bedroom, 10-bathroom, 9,500 square feet on 270 acres. And golly, gee, they even have their own chapel there. You know, I mean, I tried to talk Jackie to go into church over there, but she won't do it. And let's see, they've got a place over on Lemons Mill Road. But you need to talk to them if you're thinking about selling or if you're looking. That's all I can say. And here's how, once again, it's lexhorsefarms.com, Hill and Reagan Parker, 608-8039. They're real horse people helping real horse people and the nicest people that you could ever want to do business with. That's what it's all about.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That is Percent.com. Racing's number one website has the value added.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursulele.
Well, Big Louie D, a two-year-old colt that won the Christopher Ellison Memorial at Parks last Sunday, is one of 11 2015 stakes winners and 100 stakes horses by Stormcast's highly successful son, Stormy Atlantic. Big Louie D is a good one, but he's got a long way to go to match Get Stormy, the most successful Stormy Atlantic. He's got three grade one stakes wins and earnings of over $1,606,000. Fact is, Get Stormy won nine stakes, seven graded, after breaking his maiden as a two-year-old at Aqueduct, went on to win stakes at Saratoga, two stakes at Keeneland. He won two at Saratoga, as a matter of fact. Two stakes at Keeneland, two stakes at Churchill Downs, stakes at Woodbine, Gulfstream, Monmouth Park. Man, he was at the races. He was dead game, consistent, sound. He's a superb individual. Boy, he's flashy. Stands for $5,000. Payable when the foal stands and nurses, and he stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Great people to do business with. Call the farm, which is, incidentally, a great place to board your horses. And here's the number over at Crestwood Farm, 859-252-3770, and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All right, I'm talking to Steve Moody. Steve, how are you this morning?
Doing all right, Ursula.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. We got a big stakes race. I think it's just one stakes up. It's the Cardinal today, isn't it?
They do have a listed stake before it, Ursula, the Bet on Sunshine. But the Cardinal is the graded race.
Kind of drew a big field, didn't it?
Yeah, got 13 going. Mile and an eighth on the turf. Fillies and mares, three and up. The Cardinal handicap, the grade three. And looks like to me the horse on the outside, 11 button down, is a kind of a lukewarm favorite at 7-2. I think she looks the best on paper here, Ursula, but she is stuck on the outside. I don't think she overwhelms this field, and the one thing that does sort of stick out is I don't really see a wealth of of speed in here. I think the horse on the inside, the four, could be an interesting play here because I think she might be able to shake loose of this bunch. And that's Invading Humor. This is a mare by Invasor, of course, who won the Breeders' Cup Classic a few years ago. She's trained by Bruce Levine. And this is a mare that's she's won 7 out of 15 on the turf. Comes off of a big win last time out at Belmont Park in the Ticonderoga Stakes. Paid a big price that day. And I think she could do it again here today. I think if she shakes loose early of this group, she just might just forget to stop and just take them all the way here. She's 15-1 on the morning line. And I'm going to give her a – I'm going to take a swing on her here in the Cardinal Handicap. The favorite button down, I think, is the horse to beat. She's got sort of a tactical speed. She should be sitting in a good spot if she's she's fairly close and turning for home. And, you know, she's going to be very tough in here. The horse to her outside, the 12 Kiss Moon, another one. She's been very consistent for Dave Vance. Julian Leperu is aboard her. And I think they're going to be right there in the hunt. But 15-1 can't pass up the what I think could be the lone speed in here, Ursula, and a horse that's proven herself on the turf with 7 wins from 15 starts. So we're going to see if she can pull another upset here. We'll go 4-11-12 in the Cardinal Handicap.
4-11-12. Okay. Well, getting down to serious business now. What do you think about the basketball team this year?
Well, obviously, they, you know, everybody was real happy with Tuesday's outcome. They kind of were a little bit lackluster last night in a game. I guess you could expect that they would maybe have a little bit of a letdown playing a much weaker team. I think to me, the biggest difference, Ursula, between Tuesday and the last night was Duke played us primarily man-to-man. They had maybe half a dozen trips down the floor where they played zone, but mostly man. And, you know, very few teams are going to play us man-to-man. Most everybody's going to play pack the zone in like the team did last night, and they're going to make us make shots from the outside, or make us we get it into the post and get a better post presence. Now we had that last year with Towns, and this year, I mean, the guy we've got, Scal, I think is got tremendous talent, but he does kind of get pushed around down in there because he's not as big as Town. So he's got to get tougher in the post and sort of hold his ground, or they're going to have to make shots. So last time I think they were two for seven or something from 3-point range last night, and you know they're going to have to be better than that over the course of the year, but because they're going to see zone most every game, and
I think so. Yeah, well, I was expecting a letdown. I know I wasn't as up for this team as I was for Duke.
I was pleased. Last time we had beaten Duke in regular season, instead of Mike Pratt doing the color commentary, he was out there with Ken Issel making baskets. So
yeah.
It's been a long time since we'd beaten him in the regular season, 1969 UKIT.
This team's going to lose some games, but they're fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. There's no question. You know, Ulis is, he's a – he's kind of the glue for the team. I think all the, you know, the fans love his toughness and the way he plays, and all the, you know, the other guys too, you know, Briscoe and Murray and all of them. But it's just
yeah, I wish Briscoe would hit his free throws a little better.
Yeah, maybe he'll maybe when he says he's going to throw away the mouthpiece, maybe that'll help him, because that last night he was one for seven at one point.
Yeah, you can't. So, he won't be in at the end of a tight game if he's doing that. You know, I mean, that's Well,
Marcus Lee, same way. He's not been a good free throw shooter either. So
no, there's the two of them. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, that's fun. Okay. Well, this has been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicap Sheet, which is published by our good friends over at Bloodstock Research Information Services. Great outfit. Couldn't do this show without them. And you can buy that your Kentucky Handicap Sheet. Go on at brisnet.com, BRISNET.com. You can get it out of Keeneland or just about wherever they sell a daily racing form. Steve, thank you so much. Talk to you next week.
All right, Ursula.
Well, First Defense is the Sire 7 Stakes Horses 4 Stakes winners this year. Iris Jasper is one of the Grade 3 Miss Preakness Stakes, the Grade 3 Victory Ride Stakes, and the Bell Harbor Stakes. Antonoa has won Group 3 Stakes as a 2-year-old in France. Dundanelle, a Group Stakes winner in Great Britain, has won the Rich Sprint Cup Stakes in Hong Kong. Fame and Power won Pimlico Sir Barton. He's placed in 3 more stakes, including graded stakes at Keeneland and Churchill Downs. 3 others have placed in stakes, 2 of them in England, and the 3rd in Kentucky. First Defense is siring runners for $7,500 live foal at Judmont Farm. And let me remind you that he's sired an Eclipse Award winner in his first crop. First Defense is a Grade 1 winner by Unbridled Song out of Empire Maker's half-sister, Honest Lady, a Grade 1 winner and daughter of Seattle Slough. Call Garrett Walker and Fry at Judmont, 859-272-7629, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, horses raised on Macaulay products. Is that, am I doing that right?
Yeah.
I am. How about that? Did something right this day for the first time this morning. Horses raised on products from Macaulay Brothers won 3 more stakes over the past weekend, 2 of them graded stakes. The Grade 3 Bob Hope at Del Mar was won by Toes on Ice, a 2-year-old bred by Lackland Farm, sold for $100,000 as a yearling in Keeneland. Aqueduct Grade 3 Red Smith went to Mr. Maybe, bred by the partnership of Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings, Liberation Farm, and Brandywine Farm, raised over at Brandywine. And the Desi Arnaz Stakes for 2-year-old fillies at Del Mar was won by Lucky Foley, bred by Wertheimer and Freer, and raised right up the road here at Haggard Farm. Congratulations to all. From the feed mill, the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse, Macaulay Brothers. So far this year, horses raised on Macaulay products have won 181 stakes races. 92 of those were graded, and 34 of them were grade 1. So to join the winning team, just get in touch with Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333. Check the website at MacaulayBros.com, and you're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway over in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers, that's where it's all about the horse. Daily Racing Form, Sunday edition, is now right here in a grubby little fist over here. Usually it's been stolen. Is that Michael out here? No, that's not Michael. Looks just like him, but it's not. Anyway, Jay Hovday's got a nice article. He's one of the best turf writers around, I think, in the Sunday edition. Of course, he's in about every edition of the Daily Racing Form, but this, you know, Jay is really good. John Sparkman's got an article on the pedigree of Isabel Sains. Of course, she won the Mrs. Revere Stakes last week. And he's writing about her female family, which traces and tail mill back to the fine race mare Ballade. Nicole Russo is writing about the weanling strength at the recent November sales and how well they sold, you know, the weanlings did. Top, you know, sold a world record filly, Warfront. Their past performances there in Sunday edition from Churchill, from Parks, Woodbine, Laurel, the Fairgrounds, Aqueduct, and Gulfstream Park. And what you need to do is sign up for their breeding update. So go to drf.com/breeding update and sign up today. And it's the Tuesday edition of the Daily Racing Form gives you the most comprehensive stakes report available anywhere for owners and breeders, providing full details of all black type stakes in North America, including pedigree, detailed progeny reports of the female family, information of the winning sires, and so forth. It's Daily Racing Form. It's drf.com/breeding update. Sign up today. Daily Racing Form, America's Bible. Racing's Bible, I should say. Right. Okay, moving right along. Jackie, you want to do some announcements?
Sure.
I'll rest my little tonsils.
That's what I thought. Rest them.
Tired of listening to me?
Oh, I didn't say that. Oh. Yeah. Oh. Yes. Let's see. Very little is going on this time of year. Horse Park's closed on, Thanksgiving.
You ready for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, pretty much. What did I forget? Egg beaters. I got to get some egg beaters. Other than that, I've kept Kroger's and
not having egg beaters for Thanksgiving.
No, no. I'm keeping Kroger's and Walmart in business. I'll tell you. Southern Lights is up and off and running at the Horse Park. Like I said, it'll be closed Thursday. It's so pretty. They do such a wonderful job. What it is, if good heavens that you haven't ever been there, it's they have lights exhibits and they move and they have galloping horses and all kinds of stuff. It's miles through there. It gets bigger and better every year. Now, it's a driving tour, so it's Monday through Thursdays, it's $15 per car, and $25 on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. If you got a limousine, it's $35. I mean, if I'm going to go look at that, I'm going to take my limousine. But, anyway, you drive all through it, and afterwards, you can park and walk into the park's main campus for the holiday festival attractions. It features Kentucky Horse Park Gift Shop, lots of fun stuff to buy for Christmas, holiday craft merchants, seasonal entertainment, an exotic petting zoo, pony and camel rides, and the Mini Train Express, model train, and dollhouse display. I love model trains. Just absolutely think they're worth going somewhere for. And you can have your photo taken with Santa. The Bit and Bridal restaurant will be serving holiday food, as well as other food vendors, including Papa John's, Kettle Corn, High Horizons Coffee, and Bluegrass Concessions. The driving route is open 5:30 to 10. It's open every night, like I said, not Thanksgiving, not Christmas Eve. And I think Christmas Eve, December 23rd, after that, they close all the extra stuff. So, and all proceeds from Southern Lights goes to the Kentucky Horse Park Foundation. And they have sponsors, Toyota, Holly and Ivy sponsors, Kerr Brothers Funeral Home, Coke, and KU, and that kind of stuff. It's just really nice. Now, Briar Nights will be Monday through Thursday. They're going to give away Briar model horses. And you ought to go out there because those suckers can cost $35, $50. And they've got a new American Pharoah that they've come out with. So, if you want to check it out or you want more information, call 255-5727 out at the Horse Park. Okay, there's nothing going on Hunters and Jumpers this week. It's the really big hunter jumper stuff. They go to Florida. They go to Wellington for the winter. They come back here in the spring. Now, Keeneland backstretch personnel and that, of course, includes the training center here. They're going to have a Thanksgiving dinner for free Wednesday, November 25th. That's this Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the track kitchen. And you need to bring your track license. So that's a real nice thing they do for people on the backstretch. Now, online and silent auction for the Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club's annual Farm Manager of the Year, which is going to be Dinner Dance Extravaganza, honoring Gary Bush. Gary Bush is with Denali Stud. Met him several times at Farm Managers. This dinner dance is going to be December 4th at the Oasis at 610 Main Street in Paris, Kentucky. Black tie optional. It's got an open bar. It's $50 a head, or you can save $50. It's $350 for a table of eight. So it's always a good time seeing everybody, all that good stuff. We're here at the Thoroughbred Center, and it's getting a little late to paint fences. We just had ours painted. They did a wonderful job. But it's not too late. You got to get planks and posts and stuff for stuff that breaks, for one thing, if it breaks during the winter. We always buy an extra, what do we get, about 12 posts and
planks.
Planks. Yeah, we get an extra 12 planks, and then we spray them while they're there painting the rest of the fences. So when something breaks, some horses put their butt through a big plank. We have to repair it. It goes up, and it's black like everything else. Anyway, give them a call. Jim Pendergast, 293-1853. Out here at Thoroughbred Center. Let's see. The only thing coming up on Hunter Jumpery stuff, December 5th, they're having a Hunter Jumper show at Lakeside Arena. But after that, it gets cold. Well, there's fox hunting this Saturday. Oh, it's probably, I shouldn't have said it.
What?
Blessing of the Hounds down at Shakertown. That's always really pretty. People can go and just watch.
Well, Great or Good won 4 stakes, 3 graded, placed in 2 more, both graded, set a new track record at Churchill Downs, earned over $546,000. He's by Interdam. Head Heart Hoof won 2 stakes in New York, including the Grade 3 Toboggan, placed in 3 other stakes, set a new track record at Aqueduct, earned over $519,000. He's by Interdam. Dab Nabbit won 3 stakes at Monmouth Park, earned over $283,000. He's another Interdam. Laurentide Ice won stakes at Belmont, Aqueduct, placed in 5 more New York stakes, earned over $236,000. She's by Interdab. We can go on, but you should get the picture. Interdab is siring runners. In fact, 10% of his foals, that's 10% of his foals now, not 10% of his starters, have won or placed in stakes. Call Kent Barnes at Shadwell Farm at 859-224-4585. Talk to him about the stallions there. Interdab, Albertus Maximus, De Hare. Ask about breeding incentives and see the website, shadwellfarm.com. Well, I'm looking for a brisk down there, Robert.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursulelles.
Well, you can add the names of 3 more Grade 1 stakes winners, Carpe Diem, Constitution, Daredevil, to the list of stallions at Windstar Farm, a list that includes 6 of the top 25 leading sires at stud in North America, Pioneer of the Nile, Sprightstown, Distorted Humor, More Than Ready, congrats, tis now. Carpe Diem won Grade 1 stakes on dirt at both 2 and 3. He is the only son of champion sire Giants Causeway to accomplish that feat. A superb individual, he sold for $550,000 as a year. Carpe Diem is out of stakes winner Revital Dreams, dam of 2 Grade 1 winners. He's entered stud for $25,000. He retired with earnings of over $1 million. Constitution, a $400,000 sales yearling, is by leading sire Tappet. out of a multiple graded stakes producer, Baffle, a door of champions, hard distorted humor. Constitution won the Grade 1 Florida Derby, the Grade 1 Don, earned over $1 million, Interstate for $25,000. Daredevil won the historic Grade 1 Champagne Stakes. He's one of some 150 stakes winners by the internationally successful More Than Ready. His half-brother won the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, and he interstate for $12,500. All fees payable when the full stands and nurses. Inquiries to Kyle Wilson, Sean Tugel, or Carolyn Walsh at 859-873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. You know, I read a couple of things from Joe Palmer's book that was put out. Actually, Red Smith gathered the stuff and put it together. This was racing. I read in the first hour, and I'm going to read it. This is the first one of the excerpts from his columns that was in the book. And it's the title of this called Horses Are Like Some People. The surest way to a successful magazine piece is to write about men or women. For some reason, which evades me, they do not seem to know much about one another. And prudery forbids an obvious suggestion. So articles about the one or the other are avidly read. And how are you, Dr. Kinsey? Failing this, a man always makes the front pages with an article on the relative intelligence of animals. I mean other animals. In most of these, the horse comes off badly. And it has come to be an article faith with some of our sports writers that he is deficient in intelligence as compared to the other domesticated or semi-domesticated animals. A horse cannot pile up boxes on a platform so he can get at a banana on the ceiling because he has no hands with which to pick up a box, and he doesn't like bananas anyway. He cannot very easily be taught to sit on his hindquarters and beg because he cannot be easily supported in this position as a dog can. And because it's a damned undignified position, either for a horse or a political candidate, as horses realize and political candidates don't. That doesn't mean the horse isn't smart, as will be freely granted by anyone who has watched the Lipizzans perform in Madison Square Garden, flowing through intricate maneuvers under what amounts to invisible guidance. A favorite story in this corner concerns a horse you probably don't remember. His name was Sands of Pleasure, and he was the first good horse to come from the Fairplay Roxanne Cross, which was later made famous by Man of War and others. Sands of Pleasure was a stakes horse in his early years, but at the time went on, he dropped down a little and wound up running in claiming races. So like so many of the horses with the turbulent blood of Fairplay, he had his notions. He was beating a nose on the post one day. This was before the days of the finish camera when the judges put the numbers up immediately and hoped they were right. The jockey on Sands of Pleasure came back, saw his number in the second slot, and pulled up to unsaddle. The horse tried diligently to throw him, and afterward tried to wrestle down the groom who was holding him and to kick several innocent bystanders. The trainer was disturbed because the fair plays were prone to grow moody and intractable as they grew older, which usually meant the end of their racing's usefulness. So he tossed the horse into a race in which he didn't fit a few days later just to see. And Sands of Pleasure, beating some five lengths, came back blowing a little because he'd given it a good try, but otherwise unruffled. Well, if there's a secret to training horses, it's to understand how a horse thinks. And this trainer went to putting two and two together. Next time he started the horse, he gave the jockey some unusual instructions. "I think you can win this if you get off fast," he said. "But if you do win it, don't come back to the winner's circle. Pull him out to the outside rail to unsaddle." Sands of Pleasure took the track and held his horses and won, pulling up by a couple of lengths. He came back to the grandstand and was guided to the outside rail according to orders. The jockey afterwards swore that the horse turned his head and looked at him. Then Sands of Pleasure took the bit firmly between his teeth and went into the winner's circle, where he belonged. So the trainer had figured this one correctly. In that first race, Sands of Pleasure had disagreed with the placing judges and thought he had won, and he took it badly that another horse was in the winner's circle. In the second, he knew he had been beaten, and that was that. In the third, he knew curse well that he'd won, and he was having no nonsense about it. In those pre-camera days, it was the custom of all losing horse players to insist that the judges were either a purblind incompetence selected for their duties after an eye test in which they not only could not pronounce the words but couldn't see the letters. Sands of Pleasure thus proved himself to have about the same judgment as a losing horse player, which rated him close up behind the chimpanzee and a possibly ahead of the dog.
Funny.
That was Joe Palmer writing about, well, what he writes about racing. And that's wonderful. Well, last Saturday at Del Mar, the Grade 3 Bob Hope Stakes was won by Toes on Ice, a two-year-old colt from the first cup by R.R. Charge, and the next day at Woodbine, Miss Mischief by Into Mischief won the Grade 2 Best Arabian Stakes. Toes on Ice was bred by Lackland Farm and sold for $110,000 at Keeneland. He has won three stakes in a row. He's one of 10 winners, three stakes horses, two graded stakes horses from R.R. Charge First Crop. Grade 1 winner R.R. Charge is from the Stamina Sire line of Arch, Chris S., Roberto. He's eligible for Spendthrift Breed Secure Program. He's a bargain at $5,000 doing a full stands and nurses. Miss Mischief has now earned over $522,000. The Grade 2 Best Arabian was her fourth stakes win. Bred by Alan Poindexter, she is a $125,000 graduate of the Phasey Tipton July sale. Into Mischief, one of Spendthrift's original share of the upside offerings, has already sired three millionaires, headed by Golden Sense, two times winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, and winner of over $3 million. By Harlan's Holiday, Into Mischief is a half-brother to Beholder, and his book is full for 2016. However, if you call Des Dempsey, Brian Lyle, or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030, you can get an R.R. Charger. Just ask him about the Breed Secure and the share of the upside programs. Lots of those stallions out there are eligible for them right now. Great deals. That's the Breeders' Farm, Spendthrift Farm. See the website, SpendthriftFarm.com.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursulele.
All righty, I was going to talk a little bit about Gallaret, who was a champion handicap mare. She was a foal of 1942 by Challenger the Second out of Gallet by Sir Galahad the Third. She was as champion handicap mare in 1946, it was. She raced at 2, at 3, at 4, at 5, and 6. She ran 72 times. She won 21 races, was 20 times second, 13 times third. She earned over $445,000. And she was rated among the top 100 runners of the 20th century. And a matter of fact, only two fillies, or distaffers, I should say, ranked above her. Ranked first was Ruffian, and ranked second was Busher. And both she and Busher were from the same crop. As a matter of fact, Busher was Horse of the Year as a three-year-old in 1945. She won she won 15 of her 20 starts, two wins, 2 seconds and a third, and earned $334,000 at 2 and 3. Unraced at 4, she just made one start as a five-year-old. This is Busher now. And pretty good producer. She was the dam of a horse named Jet Action, who was by, if I'm not mistaken, Jet Jewel, not Jet Pilot, but a son of Jet Pilot named Jet Jewel, and who stood over at Main Chance Farm for Miss Elizabeth Auden. And Jet Action was a really high-class racehorse. And as a matter of fact, Gallaret produced a couple of stakes winners herself after she was retired to the Broodmare Man. And let me see if I give you the names of those two. I've got them written down here somewhere. Oh, yeah. Her first foal was Mademoiselle Lorette, who was by Lovely Knight. You won't remember Lovely Knight, but I remember. He was he stood over at Plum Lane Farm, or Ellesmere, for Cy White and Henry White. Sire, of course, is Henry's dad. Lovely Knight was a really kind of a noted sire of steeplechasers, but Mademoiselle Aurette, of all the stakes to win, she won the Gallaret Stakes, which is pretty good to be an Alec Gallaret. And she was a stakes producer herself. She had a foal named, a filly named Mademoiselle Barker, who won stakes race. And also Lovely Gale, who won stakes, placed in the Irish Thousand Guineas, as a matter of fact. Gallaret was also the dam of Corbett, a filly by Native Dancer, that won stakes in Ireland. She, too, was a stakes producer. And it was a good female family. As a matter of fact, Gallaret's female family was a great female family. Her dam was Gallet, G-A-L-L-E-T-T-E, by Sir Galahad III. She was out of Flambette, one of the all-time great producers. This was a family of under Gallet. You find not only Gallaret, but you find Nadir, the champion two-year-old colt. And let's see, Sphere over there is a round table filly, as I recall. I'm shooed by round table. She won stakes out on the West Coast. Saber Mountain was from that family. He was another good stakes winner out on the West Coast. So was Dumbwaiter. Dumbwaiter by round table. And it was just, you keep going back to Flambette, who was the second dam. She was the half-sister to Nedo, and this is a family of Flambino and Omaha and Jacola and Johnstown, who won, of course, the Kentucky Derby and the Belmont Stakes, Fleam, Super Lunar, Flares, Quick Tower, Eiffel Tower. It's the list of stakes winners from that family was just fantastic. And Gallaret, and I don't know why they ranked, I can see they rank Ruffian. Ruffian was brilliant. You know, she was one of, I think she was one like first eight starts, and before she was broke down in that match race. But she never ran against the boys, other than in that race where she broke down in the match race. But both Busher and Gallaret competed against top flight horses. I know Busher was as a 3-year-old running and ran against horses like Armed, and Gallaret was competing with horses like Stymie, and you know it's they almost had to at that time because opportunities for fillies were kind of far few and far between. But anyway, they were two great race mares. So. All right, let's see who's won here recently. Paul, Chuck Peary has won back-to-back races at Churchill. Won one on Friday and one the day before on Thursday. And then let's see who else has won. Marco Castaneda won another one at Churchill, and Paul Garcia won a stakes race. Okay, we'll be on next week at the same time, same station. And they're playing our music.
The radio show will be up on Ursula's Horse Tales. Just
the radio show will be up on Earth. Okay.
And Cameron Mills comes up next.
Yep, Cameron's next. Okay, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Who cares about the clouds?